Travis had displayed great courage during the Second World War, leading 35 bombing missions for the 8th Air Force. As the B-29 gained speed, one of its engines failed near the end of the runway. The bomber lifted off the ground, and then a second engine failed. The pilot, Captain Eugene Steffes, tried to retract the landing gear and reduce drag, but the wheels were stuck, and the plane was heading straight toward a hill. He put the B-29 into a steep 180-degree turn, hoping to land at the base. The plane began to stall, with a trailer park directly in its path. Steffes banked to the left, narrowly missing the mobile homes. The B-29 hit the ground, slid through a field, caught on fire, and broke into pieces. When it came to a stop, the crew struggled to get out, but the escape hatches were jammed. Sergeant Paul Ramoneda, a 28-year-old baker with the 9th Food Service Squadron, was one of the first to reach the bomber. He helped to pull Steffes from the cockpit. General Travis was found nearby, unconscious on the ground. Ambulances, fire trucks, and police cars soon arrived at the field, along with hundreds of enlisted men and civilians, many of them awakened by the crash, now eager to help out or just curious to see what was going on. The squadron commander, Roy Halsey, told everyone to get away from the plane and ordered the firefighters to let it burn. Flares and 50-caliber ammunition had begun to go off in the wreckage, and Halsey was afraid that the 5,000 pounds of high explosives in the atomic bomb would soon detonate. The crowd and the firefighters ignored him. Halsey, the highest-ranking officer on the scene, ran away as fast as he could. Sergeant Ramoneda wrapped his baker's apron around his head for protection from the flames and returned to the burning plane, searching for more survivors. Moments later, the high explosives in the Mark IV detonated. The blast could be heard 30 miles away. It killed Ramoneda and 5 firefighters, wounded almost 200 people, destroyed all of the base's fire trucks, set nearby buildings on fire, and scattered burning fuel and pieces of molten fuselage across an area of about 2 square miles. Captain Steffes and 7 others on the plane escaped with minor injuries. 12 crew members and passengers died, including General Travis, in whose honor the base was soon renamed. The Air Force told the press that the B-29 had been on a long training mission, without mentioning that an atomic bomb had caused the explosion. An accident could involve more than one weapon. On July 27, 1956, an American B-47 bomber took off from Lakenheath Air Base in Suffolk, England. It was, in fact, on a routine training flight. The plane did not carry a nuclear weapon. Captain Russell Bowling and his crew were scheduled to perform an aerial refueling, a series of touch-and-go landings, and a test of the B-47's radar system. The first 3 touch-and-go landings at Lakenheath went smoothly. The plane veered off the runway during the 4th and slammed into a storage igloo containing Mark VI atomic bombs. A SAC officer described the accident to LeMay in a classified telegram. The B-47 tore apart the igloo and knocked about 3 Mark VIs. Aircraft then exploded, showering burning fuel over all. Crew perished. Most of aircraft wreckage pivoted on igloo and came to rest with aircraft nose just beyond igloo bank, which kept main fuel fire outside smashed igloo. Preliminary exam by bomb disposal officer says a miracle that 1 Mark VI with exposed detonators sheared didn't go. Firefighters extinguished fire around Mark VIs fast. The cores were stored in a different igloo. If the B-47 had struck that igloo instead, tearing it open and igniting it, a cloud of plutonium could have floated across the English countryside. The engineers at Sandia knew that nuclear weapons could never be made perfectly safe. Oscar Morgenstern, an eminent Princeton economist, military strategist, and Pentagon advisor, noted the futility of seeking that goal. "Someday there will be an accidental explosion of a nuclear weapon," Morgenstern wrote. "The human mind cannot construct something that is infallible. The laws of probability virtually guarantee such an accident. Every nation that possessed nuclear weapons had to confront the inherent risk. Maintaining a nuclear capability in some state of readiness is fundamentally a matter of playing percentages, a Sandia report acknowledged. In order to reduce the danger, weapon designers and military officials wrestled with two difficult but interconnected questions. What was the acceptable probability of an accidental nuclear explosion? And what were the technical means to keep the odds as low as possible? The Army's Office of Special Weapons Developments had addressed the first question in a 1955 report, Acceptable Military Risks from Accidental Detonation of Atomic Weapons. It looked at the frequency of natural disasters in the United States during the previous 50 years, quantified their harmful effects according to property damage and loss of life, and then argued that accidental nuclear explosions should be permitted on American soil at the same rate as similarly devastating earthquakes, floods, and tornadoes. According to that formula, the Army suggested that the acceptable probability of a hydrogen bomb detonating within the United States should be 1 in 100,000 during the course of a year. The acceptable risk of an atomic bomb going off was set at 1 in 125. After Secretary of the Air Force Quarles expressed concern about the safety of sealed pit weapons, the Armed Forces Special Weapons Project began its own research on acceptable probabilities. The Army had assumed that the American people would regard a nuclear accident no differently from an act of God. An AFSWP study questioned the assumption, warning that the psychological impact of a nuclear detonation might well be disastrous, and that there will likely be a tendency to blame the irresponsible military and scientists. Moreover, the study pointed out that the safety of nuclear weapons already in the American stockpile had been measured solely by the risk of a technical malfunction. Human error had been excluded as a possible cause of accidents. It was thought too complex to quantify. The AFSWP study criticized that omission. The unpredictable